Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and now and ever, unto the ages of ages. Christ said in today's gospel that if you're not willing to confess Him before man, He is not willing to confess you before the Father who is in heaven. If you deny Him before man, you'll deny Him before His Father who is in heaven. And if you love father and mother, sister or brother, son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. And if you don't take up your cross and follow Him, you are not worthy of Him. These are the minimum requirements that Christ has given us to be saved, to enter into the kingdom. And believe me, it requires everything that we have. It requires total commitment to Him. How many of us, out of fear of what our friends or neighbors or fathers or brothers will think, have denied Christ? There's no one that is honest with himself that doesn't realize that there have been numerous times in our lives when we have been like St. Peter, who for fear for his own life denied Christ 3 times. But Peter repented, asked for forgiveness, and he became one of the great apostles of the church. It's difficult for us in a world which has this motto, the denial of Christ, a world which lives in all of its being to deny Christ, to stand up and bear witness to the truth of the gospel. It's difficult when there are so many churches in this world that have made an accommodation to the world, an accommodation to the truth. Think that they can compromise the truth in order to not face the wrath, not lose the love of family, not lose the love of friends, not lose the respect of their peers, not lose everything which they value in this world by confessing Christ. And what Christ has told us in this is that it's not acceptable for us just to confess Him part of the time when it's convenient for us, when the cost is very little. To confess Christ when the cost is great, when we stand to lose everything. That's what He wants from us. That is love. And we cannot love God if we do not know God. No more than you can love another human being if you don't know them. You can have an infatuation with another human being. You can have an infatuation with an idea in your head about what this human being is like. And how many of us have fallen in love with the idea of a person, and not with a real person, and not knowing what they were really like, and not having the full knowledge of them. And unfortunately, many of us, thinking that faith and love is simply an emotional thing, we think that we can simply transfer the kind of love that we have for other people and have that same kind of love for God. And believe me, there are many people out there that are willing to nurse a fantasy of God, a false God. But how can you love God? How can you love God if you only believe lies about God? If you believe the lies that other people, other churches, or even yourself, you have told yourself about God. How can you love someone that you do not know? Christ, through His example, through the life, the human life He lived on the earth, has shown us who the Father is. He has said, "He who sees me sees the Father, who is invisible." We can know about the character of God and what God is like, and what God expects of us from the life of Christ, from the words He has said, and from the actions and the attitudes and the behaviors that He manifested while in a body living 2,000 years ago in the Roman province of Judea. We have the record of how this human life revealed the life of God. And as St. Paul said in his epistle to the Hebrews, we also have the living witness of so great a cloud of witnesses, all those righteous spirits, those righteous saints who have loved God and have revealed God in their own lives. We have their example. Thousands upon thousands of them to show us what total and complete commitment to Christ means. The virgin martyr Martella of Hios, unwilling to sacrifice her virginity to her father, prayed that the rock would consume her, and she had her head and breasts hacked off by her own father when he couldn't satisfy the lust of his flesh. She loved Christ more than she loved her father. She loved Christ more than she loved her life. We have all the saints that we commemorate today. All of them. All of the martyr saints who in the early Roman period willingly gave up their lives to the lions rather than denying or making an accommodation to the world. How easy it would have been for them to have tossed that incense to Caesar and then gone back the rest of their life and said it meant nothing and continue professing Christ. How many of us in our lives every single day make an accommodation like this? We take Jesus' words, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and use them as a justification for making a compromise with the world so that we don't lose. But Christ said, he who desires to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake and the sake of my gospel, he will save it. I mean, these are simple truths. It's not even a small child, when you explain this, who can understand it. It doesn't require a great intellect, tremendous education. It doesn't require any of these things to understand what is expected of us as Christians. And how many of us, every single day of our lives, either seek out others who will lie to us about God and what He expects. We have the entire Protestant world who believes that if you just say, I accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, that that's all you need to do, and heaven is opened up to you and guaranteed to you. These people, in all of their zeal, cannot possibly know God, because the God that says, accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that's all you need to do, is not Jesus. This isn't what Jesus said in the Gospel. Jesus said, except ye take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of me. Where is the cross in the message of so many Christians in the world? Where is the message of the cross? Where is the message of denying yourself? Where is the message of sacrificing your family? And believe me, anyone who seriously follows the gospel is going to be rejected by his own family if they're not also following the gospel. And you're not doing service to them by making an accommodation for them. No more than if there was a shipwreck and all of your relatives were out there drowning in the water and you were swimming with all of your strength for the rescue boat which was waiting for you. Would you do a service to them as they're crying to you and saying, no, we're safe, everything is okay? By your example of swimming to the boat, maybe some of them will come to their senses and decide, well, maybe it's my turn to struggle and swim to the boat with you. The easy thing sometimes is to be drowning in the water. Literally, symbolized by the flood itself. How many of those mocked Noah as he built that boat? Laughed at him and mocked him and said, why are you building a boat on dry land? God gives us these stories, these parables, these images, because He knows that we, like children, forget. How many times have you told a child to do something, and they come to you and say, well, why haven't you done it? Oh, I forgot.
And you tell them again, and they come back to you, and they tell you, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. And yet we as adults, we look at the children and we say, how can we be this way? Because we think we've improved. We're better now than the child is. We've only deceived ourselves. In our own way, we are just as forgetful as that small child whose chore has been given, who hasn't done it. And we use the same excuses they use. Oh, I forgot. Oh, it was too much for me. Yes, it is in our own strength too much for us. Like that swimmer swimming to that rescue boat, if it were up to our own strength, we would not have the strength to swim to the boat. We wouldn't have the strength to do what is necessary to be saved. And for this reason, He has given us, through baptism and chrismation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to teach us how to pray, how to be holy, how to live a righteous life, and most of all, how to love other people. And to the degree to which we commit ourselves to the acquisition and indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we will attain to those virtues of patience and perseverance, of faith, of hope, and as St. Paul has said in his epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle, to love. And for those too stupid to understand what love is, He even told us what love is. And believe me, many of us, if given the opportunity to love other people, will convince ourselves that hating people is actually loving them. We're so capable of self-deceit to convince ourselves that by being hateful to someone, we're being loving to them. And it's for this reason that He told us what it is to love. I mean, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, it believes in the good of people. It seeks not its own. We know these things. We've heard them from our youth. And yet we so easily forget them. We so easily forget them. Let us learn to know God. Let us learn to open up our hearts to God. Let us learn to have the strength to be willing to call out to God. And as I said, He is there to rescue us. He willingly rescues us. He joyfully rescues us. And His rescue was hanging on a cross. His rescue was dying a horrendous and horrible death. Greater love hath no man, He said, than to lay down his life for his friends. And while ye were not yet my friends, I have offered my life to you. He offered His life to us before any of us were friends of His. And He offers all of us a chance to have that kind of friendship. To no longer fear God, but to love Him. Yes, it is an awesome and fearful thing, as St. Paul says, to be in the hands of the living God. It's an awesome and terrible thing. But He is a gentle and loving Father who holds the whole world lovingly and tenderly in His hands. And all each of us has to do is embrace that. Recognize that and love that. Anyone who tells you of a different God other than this God, of this loving and gentle and merciful God, is lying to you about the character of God, is slandering God. And believe me, you can go to church after church after church and find people slandering the name of God because it's easy. We have to believe in the truth. We have to speak the truth with love. And we have to embrace the cross. Brothers and sisters, I pray that every single day of our lives that we love God more and more and more. Like this romantic notion, you know, we've heard in so many songs about men and women. You know, I loved you more today than yesterday.